Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
The seat of my big black jacked up truck, rolling on 35s, pretty girl by my side. You got that suntan skirt and boots, waiting on you to look my way and scoot your little hot self over here, girl, hand me another.
More than 2 million customers remain without power from Florida to Ohio. President Biden has approved a disaster declaration in North Carolina, where supplies are dwindling in the western part of the state. Many residents there are trapped by floodwaters and washed away roads.
I want to remind all North Carolinians that conditions on the ground remain extremely dangerous, even as flooding has continued.
We weren't prepared for the severity of the storm at all.
At all. That's the... Man, nobody was. You just cannot expect it to be this bad in North Carolina, Western North Carolina, and also Eastern Tennessee. Flooding waters have ripped out bridges, ripped roads in half, shut down the interstate. I-40 is closed. I think it's still. I haven't looked this morning, but late last night it was still closed. Like if you pull up a Google map of like Asheville, and then zoom out a little bit. What you see basically is the whole area is closed. The number of road closures, it's just, I'm doing it because I wanted to check that. Like, if you start in Asheville and there's a lot of red, the little red don't go here symbols on the roads. And then as you zoom back and zoom back and zoom back, it just, as far as you go, it keeps expanding until you get to basically Statesville to the east on I-40. And then about halfway up to not quite Knoxville, but to like 81. It's all just closed. You know the old expression, like you just can't get there from here? You just can't get there from here. There's nowhere you can go where things are open. It's true to the north of there, all the way up to the border. It's true west of there, like that whole area is just shut down because the roads are not safe or they're gone, And you remember how it is after a flood? There's the roads that you know are destroyed, and then there's roads that you don't know have been damaged, because the soil has eroded underneath, and so you can't put traffic in. And so you say, well, why don't they send trucks? Well, 18-wheelers with the weight. I'm assuming that that's what the problem is. Getting supplies in is not so easy in a place that has been this hard. You think about, you remember what Scenic was like. You remember what happened in Bristol Park. You remember, try to wrap your head around the 2014 flood, but worse, because the rainfall was worse for them, and across a whole region. This, the localized flooding in 2014 in Pensacola was horrific. We're talking about 50-mile diameter of affected roads. They had signs, like the reader board signs on the North Carolina highways said, don't drive in the western portion of the state. It's just, it's unfathomable, the level of destruction. You're talking, we don't even know enough to know how many people have died. And I know looking in a storm, you never know. Remember on Friday, and we were talking about there had been 3 people killed, and there had been maybe one additional death the governor was reporting. And you talked about, some people in Georgia and a person in Florida, and there was 4. And you're like, okay, this is bad, but it's what happens in storms. Weird things happen. Trailers get flipped over. Trees fall on somebody's vehicle. A sign in one case fell on somebody's car. And then by mid-afternoon Friday, we were starting to get numbers 30 and 40 people. And then it was 30 just in the county around Asheville. And now the number is around 100 people have been killed by this storm. And we don't know. I have to say around because we just don't know. Every seems like every news source gives a slightly different number. Plus, it's 90 plus. And there might be, and I don't want to exaggerate because I don't want to get people more distressed by this than they should be, but there might be 1,000 people missing. Unaccounted for. In the sort of northern western portion of the state, in these small towns that are completely cut off and isolated, and you know, I don't know if you've seen any of the pictures or the video. We shared some of it on our Facebook page at News Radio, but it's just, yeah, there's no describing it. You know, people getting rescued from helicopters or getting rescued by from hospital rooftops by helicopters because the water's up to the roof, and you know, people getting washed away, and you're watching, like, I saw a video of a casket floating down a river, and like, yeah, there you go. I mean, people trying to survive on, you know, boat or mattress rafts. I mean, just all of it. Like, what do? You know, people taking pictures of the flooding up to the rafters of their house from their rooftop, hoping somebody can come by and rescue them, or, you know, you got room in your kayak for me? Again, just for, like, reference point, you know, remember 2014 when, you know, search and rescue was using chainsaws to cut people out of their roofs because they were up in the attic trying to escape over in Bristol Woods because they were trying to, you know, trying to escape from the floodwater after the dam broke on Kingsfield from International Paper and let all that water come out. You know, like when Crescent Lake Dam broke and all that water flowed and all the water that came down like Rainbow and Blue Springs and all that over north of Michigan and just, you know, carved a path of destruction and ruined streets. Well, yeah, like that for 40 miles across a whole region. It's hard to figure out. And they're talking about, you know, maybe today we can get people to go in. And the governor, you know, of Florida sending resources, which is great. I mean, that we can be in such a healthy state that we can send resources to help them, but that they need it that badly that the, you know, they didn't have FEMA distribution sites set up yet even, you know, and this was from Friday until yesterday. So that's three whole days. Remember the... John, you've been here a long time. How long have you lived in Pensacola? Like 20 years?
Yeah.
Okay. For the longest time, what was the motto? What was the emergency preparedness motto? The first?
72 are on you.
There you go. First 72 is on you. Now it's a week. Why is it a week? Because you don't know. And they're not like Asheville. You go skiing in Asheville. You know? That's the Biltmore is in Asheville. We have relatives that live in Asheville. And they got out to Charlotte. Okay. After a couple of days of nothing, they just said, we're getting out of here. I don't know how they got out. You know, I didn't ask, but, they're out. Not everybody got out. And it's a ski resort town. You don't think of a ski resort town being destroyed by flooding. You know, not normally, but the water's got to go somewhere. And, you know, if 30 inches of rain fall, and look, I don't mean to be pedantic about this, but it is worth understanding the physics of it a little bit. Okay, if 30 inches of rain fall across an entire area and that area is mountainous or hilly, rain flows downhill, and what is 30 inches on average across an area, because it collects in the low-lying parts, will become 15 feet in the rivers. And no area can handle a 15-foot storm surge from a river or 20-foot. Or, you know, like, you're talking about the surge effect only coming downhill instead of going inland. 437-1620. John Pickens got traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by the Santa Rosa County Supervisor of Elections. Registration deadline for the November 5th general election is happening October 7th. New registrations need completion and received or postmarked by that date. You can visit votesantarosa.gov. Just one accident on the books right now, north the Old Palafox Street and East 9 Mile and 1/2 Road. It's off to the side of the road, and I'm not seeing any delays associated with that. Other than that, traffic's good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And just to follow up on this, just because it might be relevant to somebody here, and again, thinking about the hydrodynamics of all this, thinking about how the water works, okay? If 30 inches, and that is what fell in some places. I mean, that's, you know, 30 inches of rain, 24 inches. Like, North Carolina got just pounded with rain. Because of that whole issue of the average is 30 or the average is 24, but then it all flows into the rivers, it all flows downhill, and so the downhill and then the force of all that water in one place rushing through is what destroys things, right? Okay, and the ground being saturated means that trees fall over, means that, you know, lakes are covered in debris, means that, you know, things that used to so completely overflowed the boundaries of the waterways that... You know, like, there's water. There's rivers near, like, say, the Biltmore in Asheville. But when you get 20 extra feet, I mean, I don't even know what the number is, but, you know, I got to imagine you're talking about that sort of vicinity. That completely overflows the boundaries of the river and up and above. And okay. And the rushing effect. But the same thing, like storm surge from a hurricane is kind of the same sort of physics problem, because you might think like 2, 3, 5 feet is, I mean, 2, 5 feet is a lot of storm surge. I mean, that's a really powerful thing. Okay. But you might think, well, but I'm 10 feet up or I'm 20 feet up. Okay. But if you have 5 feet of storm surge and it finds itself being pushed into an area where there's varied elevation, you know, like in a bayou, especially where a bayou feeds up into like Carpenter Creek, to take an example, okay? If the storm surge is 5 feet into that area, well, then it gets narrowed where the water can't go onto the land, so it gets funneled into the smaller areas and pushed back. That's why you can have such really dangerous effects of storm surge, not necessarily because of the surge itself, but because of the way the surge is managed by the land as it encounters the land. And by the way, just as a, like one very small incidental follow-up, we were biking over in on Perdido Bay on the Alabama side over the weekend, and the water is still like a foot or a foot and a half up. At least it looked to us like it was still up. And people, I said, you know, I posted on Facebook about it, and people said, yeah, we're still seeing it, you know, in Gulf. Like, we still have elevated water now, what, 4 days after this storm? We didn't have much here in terms of effects. Water is it. Just, it's a whole force unto itself. 620 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. If you're thinking about buying a home and thinking about how water or floods or water tables or proneness to, I mean, things you got to think about, and with flood insurance, all that, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, very, very good at thinking about all these things. They've been, you know, doing business here for, you know, I mean, several years, and every year they sell like couple hundred homes. Last year, 175 homes. This year, more than 120 homes. And, you know, one of the things that Christina really prides herself on is knowing as much as she can know about her field, being kind of a nerd about it. Like, you know, if there's something comes up, like I know she was telling me, I don't know, 3 or 4, maybe it's more like 6 months ago, that they had previously encountered, like, you know, divorce sales. Well, in a divorce sale, that's a problem because both people don't agree. So the sellers are in disagreement with each other. How do you navigate that? Well, they did it, and then they said, we need to learn how to do this better. So they took some courses and got some training on how to do, you know, mediation, dispute resolution, to get people who both co-own a thing how to agree on a sale when they can't agree about anything else in their life except they don't want to be together. Now, that's not all that common, but it's common enough. And if that's you, you want somebody who's capable of handling it well. Same thing for, like, estates. You know, sometimes the heirs squabble. And how do you deal with that? Well, that's something that they've kind of gotten good at. So if it's a particular problem you're dealing with a home sale, or just in general, you want to make sure you get the best price possible, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, 723-9158.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are all words you hear a lot about in today's world. But what do they mean? How do you get started? You can start by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 a.m. Join me, Lexi Mendoza, and I'll show you how to navigate the fast-growing landscape of digital advertising today at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Join Ballet Pensacola Thursday on Pep Talk at 9 a.m. They're kicking off the highly anticipated season opener of Cinderella. Pensacola Ballet performs this classic story with exquisite choreography from artistic director Stefano Candreva. Cinderella is for all ages. Performances are October the 11th through the 13th and the 18th through the 20th at the Pensacola Cultural Center.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
It is a good time to talk about limits. You can love your pets, but just don't love your pets. You know what I mean?
So the Ole Miss Kentucky game, John's leaving the studio. John, where'd you go to school?
Ole Miss.
Where were you on Saturday?
At the game.
A minute 22 left, and your quarterback down by three on 3rd and 14, scrambles, gets sort of touched by a defender and coughs up the ball. Lucky for you, there was a penalty on the play, so you had another chance. And, this defense offsides, which you would typically think when the defense is offside, you'd throw a long ball and hope that something turns out instead of the quarterback run, turn around, cough it up the ball. Anyway, all that's by the wayside because you got your chance, 48 yards, 48 seconds to go in the game, chance to tie it with a field goal.
Charlie Pollock is the holder. Carter Short, the snapper. They do their job. That kick is no good. A low tuck hook. And Kentucky is going to win at Oxford for the first time since 1978.
Yeah.
Was it fun to be at the game, though?
It was fun. I enjoyed being back on campus
good to be at the game.
You know, the entire campus life.
Oh, and by the way, I mean, I'm an Illinois fan.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so, and we were ranked. We're ranked number 18. And another orange and blue team. I'm an Auburn fan, so whatever you happen to you is nothing. Nothing. We'll talk about that later, maybe. Let's see. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control.
Could be worse. Could be a Georgia fan. that game. Ooh, that was a great game, though. I mean, that was a great game.
It was.
Anyway, go ahead.
Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, you can visit KnoxPest.com. Knox knocks them out. Got an accident that just happened at Pace Parkway and Muskegee Road. The roadway is blocked there, so just be aware of that. Other than that, I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I am going to do this just briefly because to say I did it, to prove that I can do it, okay? Auburn, down 7-0, beginning of the second quarter.
Thorne with time. Going to take a shot downfield, and that ball's in the hands of KLS. Touchdown, Auburn.
You say, why does that hurt? No, you got to wait. 7 minutes later, Auburn again.
Thorne on first down, going to take a shot again.
Team to 7 at the time over Oklahoma, end of the half. And then, of course, they got a field goal. And with just the beginning of the third quarter.
Had all the offensive linemen trying to shield what they were practicing.
Auburn again.
You got that sky cam. You got that sky cam, Mr. Rogers. And you found it.
Me. Thorne to the end zone. Flag comes down as Luke Deal gets the touchdown reception.
21-10 over Oklahoma. We're going to pull off the upset at home. It's going to be fantastic. Why did they get a touchdown? And then, well, we got the ball. It's fine. We're driving. We're going. We're going to get there.
On 3rd and 4. Can the Sooners get
4 minutes left. 4 minute offense. All we got to do is run out the clock.
It is intercepted. Oh. Intercepted by Lewis. No. Kip Lewis. Could he? My, oh, my. Pick six.
And the 2-point conversion made it 24-21. See, John, it can be worse.
That is true.
That you is could have true. Had hope. Yeah. 629 News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines, and that's not even a touch to Georgia-Alabama game. We'll get to that some other time. David, what's going on in the newsroom, sir?
Well, President Biden says he'll be visiting areas hit by Hurricane Helene, but they're going to be doing that when it won't disrupt emergency operations. The White House didn't give a specific day, but did say it would be sometime this week. The president says he spoke with North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper, who, of course, has said that getting people out and supplies in is their top priority now. Astronauts Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams' ride home has finally arrived. The two have been stranded on the International Space Station since issues arose with their Boeing Starliner capsule in June. Two astronauts were scrubbed from the latest SpaceX mission, which launched over the weekend, to leave room in that capsule for the pair when they return. All four will be coming back to Earth in February. And country music star and actor Kris Kristofferson has died at 88.
Yeah, sad news, obviously. I mean, I know him as more of an actor because I'm not so much a country fan, but, you know, in both worlds, a huge superstar. David, thanks so much for the update. One other extra awful note. We had two sheriff's deputies died in North Carolina during the floodwaters, one from Macon County, one from Madison County. Just highlighting the danger of our first responders that, you know, when they're out in these storms or after these storms, they're putting their life at risk in all kinds of ways.
Fox News, Memphis Foster. Hundreds of people are stranded by flooding in western North Carolina. Nearly 100 deaths are blamed on Hurricane Helene and what was left of the storm as it moved through.
After catastrophic flooding over Florida, the Southeast, and the Appalachians, there is still rain in the forecast for some of these areas this week. The remnants of what was Helene still stalled over parts of the Tennessee and Ohio Valley. It won't take much to cause additional flash flooding, mudslides, and rock slides.
Fox meteorologist Janice Dean, the new leader of Hezbollah, says it's ready for any Israeli ground offensive in Lebanon.
Naeem Qassem is now acting leader of Iran-backed Hezbollah. Its long-term figurehead, Hassan Nasrallah, one of seven senior figures killed by the Israeli military in the last 10 days. That followed the booby traps that turned the group's communication devices into bombs.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 64 degrees. It is mostly clear this morning in Pensacola. A Pensacola man has died after a motorcycle crash on Beverly Parkway. That happened Sunday evening at the intersection with Rock Island Place. FHP says the rider was headed west when a sedan driven by a Pensacola man pulled out in front of the motorcycle. The rider died at the scene of the crash. The driver and passenger in that sedan were both taken to the hospital with minor injuries after the crash. FHP says charges are pending in the case. The annual seafood festival was held downtown over the weekend. The Fiesta Pensacola organization says that brings in millions of dollars to the local economy.
The hotel rooms that get booked by not only the vendors, but the people that visit our festival, help bring so much business to the economy of Escambia County and especially downtown Pensacola.
That's Fiesta Pensacola director Bridget Middleton. She talked with Channel 3. Middleton estimates between 80 and 90,000 people visited the festival over the weekend. There were more than 170 artists on hand and 50 plus food vendors. Police in Atmore investigating after a weekend shooting that happened Saturday night. A victim was taken to a local hospital with a gunshot wound. Police said that person was taken to a trauma center by helicopter in serious condition. Officers now looking into what happened and working to identify suspects in that case. NAS Pensacola Chief Petty Officer Bree Kuhn found guilty of her husband's murder. That happened in September of 2021. She was in court last Thursday. She was found guilty on a first-degree premeditated murder charge and sentenced to life in prison. That happened at a home in Gulf Breeze. Her husband, Colin Turner, was shot while on the phone with a 911 dispatcher. Kuhn has been in jail since that shooting. Governor Ron DeSantis says FEMA has now approved a major disaster declaration for 17 Florida counties. He says that since Hurricane Helene's landfall, urban search and rescue teams have saved 13 people. The Florida National Guard has saved over 150 people and over 50 animals. Meanwhile, work continues to restore power. As of this morning in Florida, there's still over 130,000 people with no electricity. Time running out for Florida Blue customers who use Baptist Health hospitals and doctors, the insurance company and health system facing a deadline of today to agree on a new deal to keep Baptist Health in network. Marco Rubio says he's impressed with the state's response to Hurricane Helene. He was on Meet the Press yesterday. He said the state's done a great job of getting the roads cleared and open. It is 6:34, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. John Pickens, what are you seeing out there?
Well, right now, I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly. Still dealing with that accident at Pace Parkway and Muskegee Road. The roadway is still blocked there. First responders are on the scene. Just seeing just a little backup in that area. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We do have plenty of sunshine in store for today with a high near 86 degrees. For night tonight, temperatures dropping near 69. Sunny skies continue for that Tuesday, high near 86. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping back into the 60s. As we go into Wednesday, that sunny pattern does continue, high near 86, low near 69. Stay connected to Channel 3 News' First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, we do have 68 degrees in Pensacola. It is 72 reported in Gulf Breeze, 70 in Milton. And our next news at 7 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The pan-European Euro Stock 600 slipped just over 0.1% in early deals, with auto stocks down over 2%. Milan-listed shares of Dodge maker Stellantis shed 10% after the automaker trimmed its 2024 annual guidance amid deteriorating global industry dynamics and bolstered competition from China. California Governor Gavin Newsom has vetoed an artificial intelligence safety bill after the tech industry raised objections, saying it could drive AI companies from the state and hinder innovation. The bill's author, State Senator Scott Wiener, said legislation is necessary to protect the public before advances in AI become uncontrollable. AT&T has announced it would sell its 70% stake in satellite TV service DirecTV to private equity firm TPG for $7.6 million. Leadership says the sale will allow AT&T to focus on its core wireless and fiber connectivity operations. That's Your Money Now.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Rosh Hashanah at Jackson's, Atlas Beverage Class, Harvest Dinner at Angelina's, flavors that forge the South Dinner at Jackson's, holiday parties, free martinis at Jackson's, and more. That's all Wednesday at 9.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
I'm a pot of gold, but we'll try best that we can to carry on.
Now, are you going to make me talk over my childhood favorite band, Styx, and Come Sail Away? And that's the mean thing you got to do there, John. 6:39 here on News Radio. Yes, of course I know all the words. 6:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. I want to bring up a story that I had a chance to kind of go back and do a little bit more looking at. You remember the story of the two school workers who were charged with abducting this 14-year-old girl from the Roger Scott area, you know, which, and then there were kind of allegations that they had did it for her own safety and all that. Okay, so there was a school board meeting, took place back on the 17th, about 2 weeks ago. And I had watched some of this meeting after the fact and just hadn't had a chance to talk about this until now. Their side of this story is really, it's interesting, okay? This is Amanda Phillips. She's one of the two women. And they were facing discipline at the school board meeting, so showed up to talk on her own behalf and explain the situation.
I'm Amanda Phillips. I have a daughter in kindergarten.
Not Amanda Phillips. That was a completely different subject. This is Ariel Rice. Amanda Phillips was a totally different subject. This is Ariel Rice, was one of the women who showed up. Sorry, Amanda. Your story was also very interesting. I'll get to it when I can. Ariel Rice was one of the women who was facing discipline from the school board.
Today I ask that we are carefully considered, not for our actions, but our hearts. The situation at hand is anything from far from shallow. This is an issue that unfortunately occurred and affected all parties' lives in very impactful ways. This has shown me and Ms. Anderson just how much passion we have for our kids.
So the two women, she's talking on behalf of them both, talking about the incident where they were, you know, charged with three crimes. Two of those charges have been dropped. The only one that remains is the obstruction charge, because they wouldn't let the police come in after the police said, let us in to look for this girl that we, you know, look, we have evidence the phone's in there. You know, let us come in and look. And they said yes, and they said no. And then they go in and they found the girl. Okay, so that's kind of a little bit of the backdrop here. But again, back to Ariel Rice.
Being a mother of my own, it is a vow and duty to protect your children. For the past 3 years and beyond, we have taken the extra steps in getting to know each child that we've encountered. To some, we are like family, and to the rest, we are family. We know how important it is to love, trust, protect, and respect one another. You make sure the door is always open and that the foundation is made.
Okay, so she's not talking specifically about their case, but she is talking about who they are. And I think telling us that these are kind, gentle, generous, the kind of people you want watching over kids, right?
However, no one talks about how barriers, intimidation, discrimination, and being treated unfair can also play a huge downfall in a family.
Okay, so again, not a lot of details, not just yet.
When this situation occurred for the first time last school year, we were limited to what we knew to be in fact, and was also placed in a compromising position out of a child fearing for her safety if reported, as well as livelihoods and job security.
By the way, that's why you have mandatory reporting laws, because you don't want the teachers or the psychologist, therapist, minister to be in a position of deciding whether to report. That's why you have mandatory reporting, is because it's so common to be worried about the child's safety. But the answer from the state is always, we want to know so we can take action, right?
Thought of not being able to survive and provide for our families just for having genuine intentions at all, and all of those things being at jeopardy.
So she said they were worried about their jobs before, right? Worried about their jobs.
But even to no avail, arrangements and resources were still made to make sure that the situation was monitored to maintain discretion and protection. It is never easy to accuse anyone of a title that you aren't sure of, yet it is still important to be aware.
And that's where we kind of got the first hint that they're afraid for their jobs because the person that they think might be doing the abuse is a person in authority in the school.
Since August 31st, I have learned that some of the individuals that sit in our chairs of administration at our county schools, we really do not know. In this day and time, we have children of all ages that are now identified as LGBTQ. Despite the opinions of others, we are all human and should all be treated equally, no matter our differences. It's unsettling to know that you can work closely with the principal of your school who is discriminative of not just an association of people, but their own child. I was not expecting for his daughter to share the details of what her life has been like in her family's household, nor was I expecting to be the one to go to such lengths to protect her, but we did.
Now, I don't know what school and the police reports, according, I haven't seen the police reports, but according to Channel 3, you know, they're redacted. Some of the details are redacted. So I don't know anything. I don't know who it is. I don't know enough to be able to know anything, even to ask who to respond to about these allegations. I would certainly give them airtime if they want to, but that's a pretty serious allegation that she's making at the school board about an elected official. Or sorry, an appointed official, not an elected, an appointed official, right? And that, you know, the person that they're feel like they're protecting this girl from is a person who's in a position of authority and power.
How do you tell a child no when they are afraid of going home? How do you report an individual like your school's principal that has ties and connections with people of a high stature that will sabotage and compromise your occupation? This has caused for us to think beyond the surface of what we know and become more aware of what we do not know.
Now, again, I'm piecing together what we know from what she's saying. And of course, it's her side of the story, right? I mean, it's her side of the story. And the police aren't talking about it because it's now in DCF's hands. So one has to assume they are investigating these claims, right? And we'll trust that, you know, whatever is supposed to happen, happens. But can you imagine? You got a kid comes to you, you're working in a school, and you formed a relationship with a kid, and that kid says, you know, I'm gay, sounds like, and my dad has been abusing me because of it, which is what seems to be confirmed from some of the other reporting. I mean, at least that allegation is what the other reporting is saying. And this person is a, you know, senior administrator in the school system. And that's kind of a scary thing to even think about, certainly for the child, if there's any truth to it. And, you know, I don't know. I have no idea whether there's any truth to it or not. But she clearly, to me, she seemed like a sincere person, based on what she said. And that's really all I have to go on at this point. And I'll finish up her comment here in just a second. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. But if you're headed from downtown Milton into East Milton, you're going to see some congestion delays there. Also, Highway 29 going southbound, you just see some delays right around Burgess Road. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So back to Ariel Rice. Again, this was about 2 weeks ago at the county school board meeting, and her talking about why they, her description, sheltered this girl, which, again, the sort of other charges have been dropped except for the one obstructing the police officers, right? That's the only one that has stuck, which is also telling, you know, about the whole situation.
That child isn't the first or the last to be in such a dark, confusing, and abusive situation that she dreads talking to anyone about. So many aspects should be taken into consideration when it comes to this occurrence. We love the youth, and this love goes beyond school walls. We are a part of the village and our community, and we should be a part of a huge impact on the type of people that you need to truly make a school.
Amen. I mean, I agree with all of that.
Even if the decision is not made in our favor, we ask that you consider more in-depth workshops.
Go ahead, finish your thought.
For faculty and staff at all schools to make a trusted safe haven for children that do not have a voice. No child should be mistreated for their image and for truly being who they are, no matter the beliefs or positions they hold.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The one thing that I wish would have happened, every board, every city council, every county commission, every school board operates a little bit differently in terms of how they respond to the public in moments like this. I really wish the school board would have at least asked Keith Leonard to address the situation. at least to say something about all of this. Because all of these disciplinary things are all done so in the secret for sheltering identity for all kinds. It's, you never know what's going on, okay? And then they take the vote, and they just take a vote. They don't. I have to trust that they have conversations internally, school board and school and superintendent, to know what's going on better than any of the documents ever reveal. What I would have wanted to hear from Superintendent Leonard or from Patty Hightower would have been something along these lines. We are aware of the allegations. We are looking into it. These are very serious allegations. We're waiting for the report from FDLE or from DCF or just something, as opposed to next speaker, which is kind of what they did. And I know it's dicey stuff. I know it's hard stuff. And I know we're talking about, you know, serious allegations being made by somebody against, again, kind of a, there's a group of people that are administrators that would fall into the category that she would be talking about. So it's probably a list of 6 or 10 people, you know. And even I don't feel super comfortable, talking about this. But she, in public talking about this, I don't know who they are. Can you imagine? And my one thought through the whole thing was, these sound like the kind of people we want in our schools. I want people who follow the rules, but I want people who care to this degree. That's who you want watching over your kids, is people who are always trying to do what's right, are always trying to do what's best. And, of course, I want them to defer to parents, but because I believe in parental rights. Of course, I want them to defer to the rules, because that's why you have rules. But I want people with what sounds like her heart. And again, given the fact that there were originally 3 charges and 2 of them were dropped, and the only one that was left was that they didn't want to let the police come into the apartment after the police said, we've got probable cause to, look in the apartment. That tells me something, too, about what the police decided about the motivations in this situation. 651 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. One of the really interesting new places that we've got here in town is a place called Bogies. It's right there on University, just north of 9 Mile, in the old bookstore building right next to the laundromat. And a really, really cool place. And in fact, one of the things that they're doing is they're sponsoring the Argos play of the game. Now, I wish I had better options to pick from from the Argos game. I have just this one. Argos, 2 minutes to go in the second half, in the second quarter against Grand Valley State, down 7-0.
Avery Moore takes the snap. Hands to Woods on a stretch to the right, but nothing doing. They got guys in there. Cam Canterbury fumble, picked up by Byron Puryear, and he's gone to the house. Touchdown, Argos. Defense scores. They've been carrying the water here this afternoon, and now they find the end zone. It's 7-6.
Wow. How about that?
38-yard pickups, or 37-yard pickup 7 by Brian Puryear, and that was the only points that the Argos scored the whole game, and they just got destroyed in that game, 31-7 in the end. But the good news is, if you ever want to watch a game, Bogey's Golf Suites and Sports Bar has they have a full-service bar. They have several different screens that you can watch, and, of course, their main attraction is they have these golf simulators / baseball simulators / soccer, hockey, zombie dodgeball. Like, they've got all kinds of stuff there, and it's really fun. I played several different sports, rugby even, and you can have a lot of fun with that. So play, practice, and party at Bogey's Golf Suites and Sports Bar on University, just north of 9 Mile. 652 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I've got some tickets to give away here for, which one am I going to do here? Taste of Gulf Breeze, I think, is this Friday night, 6 to 9 at the Gulf Breeze Community Center. Always a good time. 21 up. Because there's alcohol. There's actually a lot of alcohol. So it's always a good time. 11th Annual Taste of Gulf Breeze, October 4th. I've got 2 tickets if you're caller number 3. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Locally owned and operated, Pensacola Poolscapes offers a lot more than pool liner replacement and pool supplies. Imagine unwinding after a long day in your own luxurious spa, where relaxation meets elegance. At Pensacola Poolscapes, they have a stunning selection of high-quality bullfrog spas and swim spas, perfect for soothing those aches, getting fit, and relaxing. And right now, they're offering end-of-summer rebate, just in time to enjoy the upcoming fall weather. Visit them online at PensacolaPoolscapes.com or on Gulf Breeze Parkway across from Tiger Point.
Hootie Inc. is the Gulf Coast leader in personality DJ entertainment. you're planning a wedding, why not use the best entertainment for less? Their personality DJs perform over 100 weddings each year. They'll make your wedding reception one you and your guests will remember for many years to come. Call Boogie Inc. at 850-438-1660 or go to BoogieInc.com. Boogie Inc. is the Gulf Coast leader in personality DJ entertainment. Remember, wherever Boogie goes, a party's bound to follow.
Donald Trump Jr. here. Since January of 2021, the cost of living has increased by 17.9%. You can't get that money back, but you can stop your losses by diversifying into a gold IRA from my friends at Birch Gold Group. To learn more, get your free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word SHELTER to 989898. That's SHELTER to the number 989898 to get your free info kit from Birch Gold now.
Message and data rates may apply.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app. News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Pardon me, monsieur. A wafer-thin mint.
Bah.
Oh, sir, it's only a tiny little thin one.
I'm full.
Oh, sir. It's only a wafer-thin.
Rico.
I'll cut you another bite. 6:55 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We have a winner for the Taste of Gold Freeze. First
yes,
name?
Yes, we do. Doug.
Doug, congratulations, Doug. See you there. I will be there as well, so see you there. Our Taste of Gold Freeze is always a good time. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Let's see here. No accidents to let you know about. I-10, I-110 actually looking pretty good right now. Not seeing any delays through that construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. You know, we've been talking about Helene all morning, about the horrific conditions in western North Carolina and eastern Tennessee. And it's so bad there that we got hit by a hurricane, but we're sending resources to them from Florida. Meanwhile, and I hate to bring this up, but in the Gulf and in the Atlantic Ocean, we have Isaac, Joyce, 12, and then two other, like, maybe systems, including one that is in the Gulf, like not quite in the Gulf just yet, but it's like south, like it's over Central America basically, and it's headed vaguely towards some place between Mexico and Miami. So I don't know much yet. It's got a 50% chance of formation, but you know, we'll be watching that because, good Lord, really? David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the vice presidential debate between Tim Walz and J.D. Vance is set for Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. Like the presidential debate 2 weeks ago, there will be no audience in attendance, but doing things a little bit differently. For the vice presidential debate, both candidates' microphones will remain on throughout the debate.
It's almost like they can trust them both to behave well. Come on.
Almost. The arraignment for the man suspected of plotting to assassinate former President Trump at his golf course is expected today. 58-year-old Ryan Ruth will be in court for that. And the Earth getting a temporary new companion. Researchers call it a mini moon, and they say it'll be close enough to view anyway for a couple of months before it heads back out into the solar system. It's an asteroid about the size of a city bus. They say it's a dim object, so you won't be able to see it with the naked eye. But if you go to an observatory with public access, you should be able to see it.
So, yeah, They said like amateur astronomers can't find it, but you know, somebody that's more professional will be able to see it. This is 2.8 million miles away. So that is
right there. Just right there. I'm telling you.
That is, just for perspective, that is, what is that? About 11 moons away. So the distance from here to the moon is 250,000 miles. Okay. So this is right around 11 moon distances away. So this is not close. You know, it's you're not going to be like, oh, there it goes again. It's not like that. But it is big. And it's, I guess it happened last year, a couple years ago or something. We had one where just something's, you know,
orbiting around the Earth and nobody knows for a while. So, cool.
You know, there's always something like astronomically that's happening and I just lose track of it.
You're
you know, when all these things come around.
Right, there's so many. Yeah. You know, almost like, you know, it's hard to tell. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. I appreciate that. Hey, a quick future news here. John, when will North Carolina roads be open back up and running? What do you think? At least the interstate.
A week.
Yeah, I'm same. I mean, a week would be fast, kind of given some of it, honestly. How long did it take to get I-10 back open after Ivan, you know?
Yeah.
EMS, $10,000 bonuses in Escambia County. Will that... I thought we were kind of up to full staffing. This would seem to indicate that we're kind of back to desperate again. When do we get up to full?
I don't know when.
Will this work? Will $10,000 work for paramedics?
I hope.
Yeah.
It's good for me.
Say yes. I hope so.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.